Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We're going to discuss your word. We just pray that you will give, you will take control of this, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, actually, we're going to go, it's going to be interactive, just like the Bible story we have been doing. But I will say some few things, and then we go into questions so that we can discuss this. We were talking about what I classify as thoughts, ideas, opinions, suggestions that the demons use to attack human beings. Not just Christians, human beings. They do that, and they have, you can say, the unbelievers' world has already been taken over by them. But they always attack everybody. So we are to put on the whole armor of God. And that is all we're going to talk about today. And when we say ideas, suggestions, and thoughts, I'm going to give one or two stories that we see from the Bible, and this is what the Lord really wanted to talk on today, so that we can really discuss this. We know that when I was talking, I said there are many things the enemy uses. Even with this thought, you talk about ideas and suggestions, it could be either through all of these demons of jealousy, demons of pride, demons of this and that. They are just tools of the enemy that use any of those. But this is the one that God says is the biggest of it is pride. Amen? Open with me to Matthew chapter 11. Let's first see what the Lord says about himself. Because the Lord is the one we want to be like. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen? Amen. So the Lord described himself, that he is meek and lowly in heart. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's compare that with the enemy. Ezekiel chapter 28. Open with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. So that you can see why the devil specializes in this, in bringing any human being down, if you can get anybody. Because that is what the devil himself was and is, and how he went, how he was cast out of heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28. I read verse 15 first, talking about Satan. This is prophetic about Satan, the king of Tyros. And in verse 15, he said, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee." God was talking about Satan then. That Satan was a spirit, a cherub that covered, as he said in verse 14, that thou art the anointed cherub that covered. And I've said this. So he said he was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. That was in Satan. Now, what was the iniquity that was found in that Satan? Look at it at verse 17. The iniquity that was found in Satan, comparing it with our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And this is what makes Satan fail. See, it was perfect, the iniquity was found in him, and verse 7 said, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." And God said, "I will cast thee down to ground." So we know that pride was what made Satan to fall. And he will use the same, that's his biggest fear, use the same upon human beings. And just think about that. He commanded those demons to bring pride, to whisper pride, to whisper anything anything that could be committed, and you can never, we were talking about the story of Adam and Eve, and you say Eve, he just boosted Eve's ego, you will be like God. And that was the beginning of the downfall of mankind, but she began to consider it, so yeah, she would like to be like that too. And that was what Isaiah said, Isaiah chapter 14 about Satan. The same line. He just used the same line. He interfered and he tried to make human beings fall and he made them fall. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about the same thing, about this same Satan called Lucifer. Because we just said in chapter 28 of Ezekiel that he was perfect, iniquity was found in him, and what was iniquity? It was lifted up. And Isaiah described the same thing in a prophetic way. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. Mentioned in my name, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou called down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou art said in thy heart, see? Think of that verse. Thou hast said in thy heart a thought. Now, let's stop at the end. Let's consider. We're going to discuss also particularly, and you to ask questions. You're going to ask questions. This is what the Lord said about Satan. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sense of, you know, I will. So Satan wanted to go above God. Let me first ask you one question. But say, thou hast said in thy heart. And we are saying demons whisper to human beings. Not the thing, thoughts and ideas come from demons. Who brought this thought and idea to Satan? Now remember, when I was preaching on Sunday, I said, we also are intelligent people. So thoughts, ideas also generate from you. Because you are intelligent, think of if your car broke down on the road and you want to achieve, something comes to your mind, go to the battery, maybe you are not really a mechanic, but ideas come to your head too. Also. But all those ideas are not from demons. There are some that come from demons from the outside, there are some that come from you. So you have to remember that, so don't attribute everything to what do we generate? We also generate some ideas because we have intelligence. But now look at this. Satan, God was reporting about Satan that you have thought in your heart, which means Satan generated the idea. Or God wanted to test him. Pick your choice. Because you can find some Bible verse where God said, I can prove you by sending a false prophet among you and see whether you're going to follow the false prophet. And who knows, God could send the word, the thought into his heart. And he had the thought and he enjoyed it. And he more or less wanted to do it. And that would make him fall. So God can also test. And God tests anyone that comes to him. You have to remember that. So what I generated from you or it comes from the outside, you are to obey the word. Amen?
Amen?
So that is the key. Are you ready to, have you surrendered to him? Have you surrendered to the word of God? That is the key. This is what we are going to live by. Like Christ said, man shall not live by bread, no, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So now that's our challenge. You're going to have to make up your mind. Because you just say, God can test you, and God tests everyone that comes to him. So the idea can come from your head that can make you want to show pride or go into that direction. Or it could come from voices. But you have to make up your mind, whom am I going to serve? Am I going to serve myself? Because that's the biggest. Are you serving yourself or are you serving the Lord? And what did the Bible say? We have to do all this as unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So where are you, Jesus? This fellow didn't give you so many. When we are talking about pride, you see, pride comes in so many flavors, and that is what we're going to discuss. After I told you, we're going to give examples, and I want you to give the examples on our ground. Examples that you can relate to is what we want to discuss. So I'm going to talk about two stories here that we can see in the scriptures that actually that has to do with this pride thing, because the devil uses it to pull human beings down. We know the story of Adam and Eve and so on. But here is one, two stories. Second Chronicles chapter 26. Let's open it. Second Chronicles chapter 26 is the story of a king, a very great king in Israel, in Judah. Messiah was this man. According to the record, Messiah was a king in Judah that did well for a while. And it was reported all the things that he did, and then he did something wrong that can only be attributed to what? The pride. In fact, that's what the scripture says, his heart was lifted up. Chapter 26, verse 16, I'll read verse 16. Remember, like I said, the devil goes about looking for whom he can devour. And that's what we're talking about, these demons that he uses. They come to people and try to make your mind do different things. And one of the biggest things that they know if people fall for easily is to put out some pride. Ego. We call it ego in America. Pride. In many forms. And we're going to, after I give this story, we're going to talk on that level. Hey, it can come to you as a student, it can come to you as a spouse, it can come to you as an employee. And the devil just looked for every way he could make people to think big. And God said, the proud look is what he hates. First thing he said, he But this is an example of a king, Messiah. In fact, in chapter 26, verse 16, the earlier verses were talking about how Messiah did great things and da 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 da. He made Jerusalem, he made engines for war and so on, and he was doing great. Then in verse 16, but when he was strong, remember the story of the Satan? He was beautiful. He said that through his beauty, he lifted up his heart. And the devil will look for that. He will see you, whatever you think is your strength, maybe it's beauty in face, or something you have, money, or prestige. And he'll try your best, but he's just bringing thoughts and ideas to you. And that is what he does to every human being, whether rich or poor, great men or little men. And then he is Messiah the king. The Bible wrote it, I didn't write it, but, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Remember the Bible said in another verse, pride goeth before destruction. So that's why we want to guard against all those things, because the small, small demons we're talking about, they create those things in the heart of human beings. We have to guard our heart and guard our mind and fall on our face when we see something like that coming up. I will give you some examples that sometimes they could be so subtle that we couldn't see. But because God searches the hearts and the reins, that's many times why we don't get what we are expecting to get. Right? You know? We expect God to give us something and we could see deeper than that. Let me give you a story quickly before I go through the story. There was this testimony, a woman gave that testimony on TBN. And that was the ministry, a woman. She said on that TBN that she when she was in the church, she would go and minister, evangelize, and preach and witness, and then she would come and she felt in herself she was trying to encourage the pastor of the church. More like, rouse up other people to do the same thing. So she would come to the pastor and tell all the exploits that she had done in witnessing. And the pastor would say, good, praise God, good, praise God. Well, this woman was one testifying this by about this thing by her sister woman. She said, one time ago, the Lord talked to her in a vision. And the Lord told her that when she goes to the pastor and did all those testifying of great things that the Lord is doing through her, the Lord said she saw, the Lord saw pride. And she said, Lord, no way, I didn't, that's not pride, I'm just trying to testify. I'm just trying to testify to the pastor. He said that God was really deeper than that. See, there are some things we cannot see, but God sees deeper. So, because God is looking for not just the action, He's looking for the motive. Mm-hmm. So that is exactly what I said. When I listen to that, artisans. Et voilà, par là, la folie de la mise en place, quand tu remets dans un lit, à quoi pour venir te venir, mais encore pas pour une de compétition, en train de dire what great things God has done, and make enemies of them, among the competition. I wonder, most of my ground would say, why are they angry at me? Who knows, well, what maybe God has seen right too. So that is what we are talking about, because God sees it much more than we could see. But here is the story of this man, this is your Uzziah. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. What did he do? He transgressed against the Lord his God. Now, this is serious, not just against men, against the Lord his God. And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And then the priest confronted him. Now, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, of course, if you know this Bible, the king is expected to be king, and the priest has to be this, and the prophet has to be that. So there's no crossover. But he was so close to God, so maybe he felt actually he had to do that too. And then the priest confronted him, and he said, in verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. So they confronted him. Whether they already have grievances, we don't know. But the problem was if it was an honest mistake, his reaction should be different. So I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Get out. But he got angry. Verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, what happened? Leprosy. God smote him. The leprosy even wrote something in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord comes aside incense of him. Himself felt that something hit him. Not the prophets, something came from his sky. So, what happened here. Honest mistake, humility, he would have said, oh, I'm sorry. But no, there was some brother, some spirit upon him. The Bible says that before honor is humility, but before pride also says a haughty spirit before a fall. Haughty. And they say, demon, they just come upon you, and you wonder what. Unless you cast them out, you'll be acting what they want to act. And that is one example. And look at the fellow, he was a great man for God. I mean, if you look at all the things he had done. And there's another example here that is called Josiah. We also know the story of Josiah. Josiah also did great wonderfully. He was the one that caused the greatest revival. Greatest revival after all the people have gone away. And God was pleased. But at the end of his life, young man, already old, here is the story of Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Similar thing, except that in this case he didn't run into the temple or do something, that he was close to God, he got favor from God. And that, sometimes I wonder about that. Sometimes we fail, we are so, our prayer always answers, God always answers our prayer. We are the right hand man of God, right hand woman of God, and then we begin to misbehave. Not misbehaving in sin, proud towards God, towards my misbehaving. That is what we are talking about. It's not like, oh, they went and did, oh, God, and did God can forgive me. No. These people are doing something they never even thought was wrong. And that is the danger part of it. Because the devil comes and just makes somebody do something that you know God does not approve, but you are not aware of it. That is what we are talking about. Here is Josiah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Second Chronicles, just next. And I'm going to read just some few verses. The same with Josiah, he did great things for Israel. And by the end of, after he has done all those great things, people have been feeling that, yeah, there's something we cannot do. Sometimes when people do that, we encourage ourselves, there's nothing we cannot accomplish. Because he was so close to God, there's a time for everything. God has a time for something. So what happened was, after he had done all those exploits for God, the Bible said, Pharaoh, for me it was going to come to attack another country over there. And Josiah felt, gee, Pharaoh, if I can knock Pharaoh down, maybe I'll be great. You know? I'm just interpreting that. Whatever come upon him, that was what happened. Verse 20. And after all this that Josiah had done, what happened? When Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. So you wonder, why would he go against a king that you all know? Pharaoh was a great, great warrior in those days. And Josiah was a small country. But where he had God, you can see where he had God, he could have had his own David. David with his few hundred, 600 soldiers, we can knock down all the Philistines. But whatever came upon him, this is what happened. So he saw Pharaoh was going to attack another country and Josiah went against him. But nevertheless, verse 21, but he sent ambassadors, and the king of Egypt sent ambassadors to him, saying, what am I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear me from meddling with God, who is with me, that it destroys thee not. Well, that was King of Egypt saying that to King of Judah. You would have said, does King of Egypt know God? Well, this is what happened with him. Nevertheless, I said to Josiah, will not turn his face from him, but disguise himself, that they might fight with him, and acting not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. Well, whoever wrote this book, say it was from the mouth of God. Amen. So, he didn't listen to what King of Egypt was saying. So what can that be? Some ego, some, I think I am great, you know. That's what I can create, a kind of some form of pride that come on. But he said it was from the mouth of God, and he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servant, have me away, for I am so wounded. So his servant therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot. And they brought him to Jerusalem and he died. Just a wasted life like that. But what was he talking about? We're talking about what could come upon him when he said, God said, don't go. That's how I can paraphrase that. And he went. Well, that's example. But all of these things, they are leading to pride. Pride. And pride always comes because of accomplishment. You know, Josiah has accomplished something. The devil that he first said, he said he was beautiful. And then the thoughts came, if you are so beautiful, don't you think you should be boss? The Lord can test him on that and he fell for it. Or he could generate it from himself. And here's another one, gee, you are great, God is, you are the right hand man of God right now, King of Egypt, mountain down. And he went for it. So all of those things is what we should meditate upon and say, oh my God, I want to be careful. I want to be right. I want to be under the submissiveness that God says. That before honor is humility. And I want you now to contribute. Give me some examples that you can think of. I can say, well, here are some things that, is this pride? If somebody is not sure this kind of talk, I want suggestions. Anybody? If you have something, you might say, can this be pride? Because that's how the thought just comes to people and they want to implement it and they don't know that. But if you ponder upon it, anything, suggestions from anybody, that you, anybody have any suggestions, well, is this, if any scenario like this comes to your mind, can this be attributed to be pride? Or what do you think? Any suggestion? Think about it. Keep meditating. I'm going to give you one right now. That is in our own, like in our own area. Not from the stories and that, but from lifestyle that we all live. Suppose you are an employee. You're an employee, and your boss happens to be younger than you, but you have been, we are in that category right now. We are in our 50s, and we are masters in this engineering. But we are this and that, we are out of it. And then there are young people that are just coming out. They are now 30 years old, and they are managers of this place, and you are ended up working under them. Okay, so that's the scenario also. Where you are working for somebody that graduated from college, 10 years after you have graduated from college. So you know that well, gee, what can I say? So that happens in life. Now, this is where proud can step in. When they will think that, gee, this man is, I don't think he's going to want to work in this place. He has so much experience and all. So they don't even hire you. But let's say they have hired you, for example, you are just a contractor. And the guy just says, gee, this has to be done this way. And he really banging his hand on the table like he's the boss. And something will rise up in you also. It's natural. Something will rise up in you. You feel threatened. You feel like, gee, this young man is just controlling. You want to find your resignation. That's what comes to your mind. Or, gee, I can work with this guy. But those are things that will be generating in your mind. And if you are in that kind of environment, the demons look around, they say, wow, and they pump up your mind, they just make you think, gee. Now, how will you handle that? How should you handle that as a believer? Any suggestion? I want to say something. Anybody? Yes.
Well, the world will handle it one way, but as believers, we are to submit ourselves to those that have authority over us. So although you may not want to, you may want to take the God side and whoop it, you cannot do that. You have to, you know, submit yourself because you are portraying the image of Christ, and you need people to see the glory of God.
Amen. Well, I second what you have said. Now, to be able to submit yourself in that environment, you have to remind yourself of the world, because in the emotion, when the emotion kicks in, sometimes that comes in offices, the emotion kicks in like that, you can see people arguing, because that man said, I know what I'm talking about, I have 50 years of experience on this thing, and that young man said, no, I want it done this way. You got to remember who you are, just like our brother said. If you don't remember who you are, and say, hey, I'm a child of God, he is the boss, submit. Very soon you will be taught, actually, want to find your resume. I had somebody in my office that was about my age, but he was not a contractor, he was an employee. And the guy that was our boss was much younger. And they were almost arguing in the conference room. And I could see that the face of this young man, the boss, was getting red. I mean, it doesn't matter. They are not Christians. I'm not saying they are Christians. But they are not. It happens in the office. And I felt that this guy should have shut up his mouth. He didn't. He kept talking back to the boss. And the boss kept holding on. After we left, I went and said, hey, he was my friend, because I said, hey, you gotta take it easy. He said, oh, you just like to be right. You just like to win the argument. Because he is the boss. You have to be careful about that. And in fact, after we left, the man said, everybody go out, goes back inside. You may say, where is at least 20 years younger than us. So that happens in life, and pride is what I'm talking about. Demons capitalize in making anybody that if you don't remember who you are, you react. And the Bible said, they that remember the word of God and keep it. That's the blessing. The blessing does not say you will not be in that environment. They say, quickly remember who you are and just, you know, go and apologize. If you're, that's what you're going to do, if you have said something harsh, or you made up your mind, I'm going to pray. I'm going to call my resignation. If you remember who you are, God will tell you that, hey, something is popping up in you too. They say, no, it's not me, it's him. When I say, well, you want to start that, I say, that boss is bad. I don't think I can work for him. So God is looking at your heart, because God is not interested in working with the demon, with the unbeliever. His work is trying to make you perfect. Amen? So he is looking at your heart to see, well, how is your heart? Not where I'm okay, it's the man, that guy is just terrible. Any other example? Think about that. You can be in an environment where you can remember some of these things. Anyway, take another example. Yes, brother.
I read a story about the airport. Everybody lined up trying to get to the plane. And everybody was scared, the flight was running to leave. And there comes these two ladies, excuse me if I use the word, rambunctious, mugging back. And guess where they both went to? This was being in the back of the plane. They went right in front of this broad parcel. Right in this one. They were expecting to blow up and say, what are you doing here? But he just kept his cool. And what he did was amazing. The ladies, two of them were together, they stood right in this one. So what he did was just left the line and went right in the back of the line. So people turn their face and say, is this guy from this planet or what? So, you know, it kind of cut the argument short. So you can't say, hey, where is she dumping my line in front of me? It's my spot. So he just went to the back of the line and stood there. And he just stood there. People are saying, who is this guy? The summary of the story is this. When he got to his turn, he had an opportunity to do necessary. The ladies gave their life to Christ. He can't attend or whatever. And what happened? The Lord made him the plan. He got it. So I was like, I don't know if it happened to me when I was going to the back of the line. But that's it, that was it. So he shot him out of everybody around by just doing that simple principle.
Amen. Well, you can see that it is possible, especially when we have Christ, it is possible. Even when it looks like the time, that man is different, I'm just not temperament, that's what I'm saying, I'm different. Even the one that are most difficult among us, if we let the Lord, is tempering us, changing us from glory to glory. That is, you can't say, well, that pastor is because he's a pastor, or because he's naturally came to. The Holy Ghost came upon him again and make it double. Even we that some people are not naturally gentle, and when you also come upon him, it should make you better also. And if you let him, he will make us better. Amen. Any other example that you can remember? We are talking about pride. And it comes in many flavors. Let me give another one that has been coming to my mind. There was this case. Here is a woman, a lady. She got doctorate a degree in college. And there is a young man, high school, and then maybe 2 years of college. And then the young man wanted to, I thought that he could appoint this woman for being a partner or for marriage or something. And this lady looked down this man and said, go look for your equal. No, that is not your equal. When I thought about that, I said, that's a little pride in the spirit. These are said to be believers. That is another example. See, it's good for you, but he has looked down on that brother because of education. And said, those who come and don't even think you can win my heart or anything because you know, we are not equal. Well, that is an example that we can look at and say, hey, that is a sort of pride. And if we are the Holy Ghost, we should let the Holy Ghost take control of that heart, take control of our heart, and not puff up. What does the Bible say? See, love is not puffed up. This is one of the articles of the Bible. And in the end, we can say, yes, and that gave us, let's open this one. Proverbs chapter 29, let's read it. Just comparing, just looking through life, things in life generally, that we believers should not find ourselves in that environment, in that situation. We should be humble. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says this. A man's pride, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. That's verse 29, 23. Well, the one actually I quote, I must have written it, is there, he said, pride is so proud, it's the style of strife. You know, the proud heart is the style of strife. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, is what I said, pride going before destruction. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride going before destruction and haughty spirit before reform. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. Here the Lord said, these six things the Lord leads. And the first one says a proud look. Now, question, anybody have any question? Let's go to questions and answer for the next few minutes. Questions on some of these things that we are talking that you might say, well, if I have if something like this happened, then we will take some time to answer some of this. Any question?
I just have like a testimony. It's also like in line with what the prophet was saying, that anytime as a believer that we did the right thing, the way God wants us to, there's always a testimony. You know, the name of the Lord is glorified. You know, the testimony that I have, I given that testimony before, and I don't always do that, but I was so glad that day that the Lord did help me out. I do remember. So I was in an office one day. All of a sudden, you know, everybody just left. I was the only person that was left in the office. So a phone came in, and these people, you know, they talked to the secretary that they're looking for a very experienced real estate. And I think I just started maybe about 2 months. So he called me and said, these people are on the phone and they want somebody that is really experienced. I asked him, you know, those people are there for about 15 years. He said, well, some of them are gone. I'm like, well, I guess I'm the most experienced here then. So I pick up the phone and I talk to them and I went over to their home and I got them listed. So, and I put the sign up there. About a week later, somebody on their street called and said, you know, I saw your sign. You know, this place has been always very quiet. You don't want strangers, you know, in here. So I said, okay. So I asked him where to be. He said, he lives across the street. So I said, okay, next time I come over here, I would like to see you. So I went by there maybe about 2 or 3 days later, and I said, you didn't know this person. I actually thought I was meeting right across the street from there. This was Fifth Street. It was on Central. So I asked him, they told me that, you know, they don't know me. So I pick up my phone and I call him and I told him that, you know, I'm in front of that house. Where's your house? So he said, you know, that I should keep on calling. So I'm like, which street are you on? Central. I'm like, I can't even walk that distance. I have to drive. So I did drive. I got there, it was in another home. So to cut the story short, we came up. So I was asking him, he started, you know, just saying the same thing. Very, very annoying. I said, you know, we don't want, you know, strangers or group of people. And in my head, just like he was talking, there are voices coming in on the right and on the left. You know, the one that was coming is like, I've already prepared the answer. Believe me, whether you like it or not, that's why they're going to get my little cellular home. But another thing was coming to me that was saying I should testify to him exactly how I got that listen. Not that I purpose to come there. In fact, if it had met the human being, I should be the last person to get it. But God stayed away from me. So I went ahead and I just told him that testimony. So when I was done, he's like, you know what? Since you've been talking, you didn't mention nothing about money, you didn't mention about nothing, but just about how you really want to help these people. So he told me, give me your card. I'm going to help other people. Anything I can do for you, I will do it. And I see that you certainly can. When I left the place, I'm like, wow, God is good. I'm glad I didn't say what I should have said. Praise the Lord.
So you can see that if we are not quick to, like we will not be quick to judgment. If you are slow to speak, then you perhaps can think through, because some of those voices will come. They always come. That's why when you are in a situation, they always come, the voices will come to you, because they want to demonstrate that. But you should remember who you are, like I said, before you open your mouth. That's why the Bible said what? He that shutteth his lips will be esteemed, a man of understanding. He that is slow to anger. Don't jump to speak, and if you think twice, you realize that hey, if you just keep your mouth shut, you may be realizing you are being wise in some of these environments, so that you get the right words out, not the wrong words. And the other example, whether that testimony or any other question, we want to go to questions. One come, people come pass it to people. Other question or?
Yeah, President. Yeah, my question goes like this. You said we are told that that demons are animals disembodied. So my question is like, how are you going to differentiate if someone has a demon spirit or a satanic spirit? Because back then in Nigeria, when I was a teenager, I used to see people that had that kind of spirit. I used to call them demon spirit, that kind of thing. So I used to see people maybe in my school.
So, but I'm trying to distinguish that those the satanic spirits in the spirit world, the spirit world is just like a physical thing like this. You see a human being walking, now you know he's standing because he has two hands. Okay? So that's what we say is a human being to us. But in the spirit world, if he's standing with all our officials, it's different from if he's a dog. Okay? But in the spirit world, you will see those demons like dogs too, and like cats. And so that in the spirit, I'm not talking about whether they manifest in this world, on this physical world. So when you say you see some people and they are crazy, but that's what you mean, and you think that these demons are the spirit, well, the manifestation is almost the same, but they are, whatever they are, if they are manifested through human beings, here's an example of the Lord Jesus casting those lunatic spirits out of the man. And they said there were many of them, the legion of devils. Okay, that's like a soldier, a band of soldiers. And but you see, they wanted to go into the pea. And people classified that those were demons because they are disabled, they wanted to inhabit something. But most of the time, those band of animals, we call them animals, but they are not the, when they speak in the human beings, also, they can talk. Because they are not animals of our generation, they are boy, disembodied animals of the generation. But what we are saying is that they wanted to inhabit something to manifest their evil behaviors. And they were even begging the Lord Jesus Christ not to send them back to hell. Okay. So he let them go into the peak. But now they still manifest lunaticism. That's when they were possessing. But that's different from what we are, they are saying, these are just a bunch of them. And those bunch of them can have one particular angel spirit leading them. Could be an angelic spirit, not an angel of God, satanic spirit leading them. But the rest be like a flock of goats, a flock of sheep. That's what they will be like. I'm just typifying, not saying that's what. But when they say they are many, that's what you should expect. That one. But the other ones that say that are flying about doing that are still part of those, only that they don't go in camp. But they are always in the air running and looking for open people to go. Whether they are being brought by some satanic spirit, the angel of Satan, that can go about using those demons to do wickedness, they are like physical human beings like this. Angels will appear like this in physical shape, like this. Not human beings, I'm thinking that they stand like 2 feet, 2 legs like us. That's what those are angelic. If they are Satan, they are Satanic angels. But here, they are animals and so on, and still in the spirit, they are actually they are demons. You even flying here, you see, some people have a dream where they saw lions flying in the air, you know, but they are demons. But they are the world, in the world that you don't see, they are just animals in that world. And they can be led by a person that looks like a human being, that's being satanic or being there. And that's what we bet. On this side, when you see the manifestation, you can't tell whether is it Satan that is satanic spirit there or it's just a bunch of demons. But they are all doing the same thing. They are making, trying to make men sin. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, that's the goal of Satan, is to make human beings sin. And once they are making them sin, then any other terrible thing can happen to those human beings. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinned shall die, and then the devil is the one that is propagating death. It's Satan that kills people, not God. You have to remember that. God put the call, but Satan implemented it. So we have to remember that. Then, those demons are part of the instrument that they will use to bring all of those trouble. But the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the Lord of righteous. So they want to make people wicked, or want to make people unrighteous, so that they can keep putting the rod of the wicked upon the human beings. So that is the purpose of the devil. So what Christ comes to do for us is to make us what? Get out of the sin nature. Because that is the bottom line. The sin nature has to be destroyed. And like once the sin nature, and the Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the works of the devil is the sin, which brings sicknesses and death. So if Christ can take care of that, he has done it for those who have come to him, say, we are now a new creature in Christ. The sin nature is dealt with by the blood of the cross. So once you have settled that and you have been set free, then all these other things you should be taking authority over them. Over sickness, over duty, we have expected to have authority over them. Just keep your authority. Okay? Any other question?
Is there a difference between Satan and Lucifer?
Well, the same thing. The Bible calls him Lucifer in that chapter we just read. He said, oh Lucifer, which is what we believe must have been his name. In Isaiah chapter 14, we believe that must be the name of that cherub called Satan. When you look at the book of Revelation, it says, that old serpent called Satan. In the book of Revelation chapter 20. So we believe that that is the name of that evil cherub that was cast out of heaven. In verse chapter 20 verse 2 said, it laid hold on the dragon, it's called dragon there, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan. And Barnabas. So, but those look like description, Satan. It's like a description, devil. Doer of evil. But does he have a name? The only place we found the word Lucifer was in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. So we believe that must be his original name.
I wonder if he has different faces.
Oh,
well. That's why Lucifer and Satan, because this is just an idea. But I think sometimes he reveals himself as a beautiful person, a person who wants to help, well, not a person, a being that wants to help, a being that wants to share knowledge, a being that wants to heal.
Well, no, that's because he appeared like an angel of light, but he was not an angel of light. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is that, can Satan appear in form of an angel of light? Yes, the Bible says he sometimes appear like an angel of light in the book of Jude. He appear like an angel of light, but he's not there to do anything like. He's, even if he's, there's some people say, even if the devil is playing drum for you, his motive is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So don't believe it. So in fact, if they come and try to, when I say they, I'm not talking of human beings, because that's them. Whoever, it could be using human beings, it could be you coming in the spirit, it could be coming in the mind, but all the motive of Satan for human beings is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what he does, like I say. He said, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal and to destroy them. Christ said, I have come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that brought life. But John chapter 10 verse 10, talking about, he called Satan the thief.
The thief cometh not, and that includes all his hosts, all those things we are talking about, where he came to Eve and said, oh, you will be like God. They are telling lies. Also, because we found out that he never became like God, they just tricked her and she fell for the lie of the devil. And that's why the Lord is calling the thief. He came to steal the joy of Eve, and he's still trying to steal the joy of everybody. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Christ said, I am come that they, human beings, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So, that's your answer to the question.
No, I just wanted to say that when Satan was still, you know, one of God's angels before the rebellion in heaven, I think God gave him the name Lucifer, the bearer of light. I think it's only after rebellion, after he was kicked out of heaven, that God gave him the name Satan and devil. Okay, before that he was the bearer of light, he was like, you know, one of God's angels, and then when the rebels were to take over, and God kicked him out and turned out, I think that's when he became like, you know, the name Satan. And so that's the people confused Lucifer and Satan as, both as good, you know.
Well, what your opera is saying is that the word Lucifer, I don't know whether you are saying that Lucifer is translated to mean the bearer of light. That is, the word the scripture said was that he was the cherub that covered it. And people believe that the God meant he was covering, he was, when before he fell, before he was cast out, he was covering the throne of God with light. And so, but after iniquity was found in him, because of that pride, and he fell, then he was cast out. And he was described as devil, means doer of evil. The wicked one, the logical one, the thief. And all of them was Satan. Satan is still another word for the devil. Okay, so, but if formerly had a name, that name was Lucifer. Okay. But all of those things is not to make you to be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. All you need to do is to guard your heart so that all those thoughts, ideas, suggestions, you wash against it. So what we are talking about is the mind, because the battle is in your mind. The battle of the ages is in the mind. What are you going to yield? Are you going to yield your mind to ungodliness? Or are you going to yield your mind to Christ? Have the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. Any other question? So we can wrap it up in a few minutes. Yes.
I have a question about pride. I see some different churches sometimes, and people that go to different churches, and sometimes is it pride when you always want to talk about like your church, like you always want to talk about what's going on in your church, but you don't, instead of like witnessing or trying to win souls, you always, like you go around and you're always talking about church, always doing that. And I don't know, I just feel like,
yeah.
I see that a lot in a lot of churches.
Yeah. Motive. What is the motive? Is the thing that you can say, well, do I go about
talk about my church? Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Or do I go about and just witness for Jesus? Look like the battery is well, I think the motive is the most important thing I can have this time. What is the motivation? What is in down? Because God is looking at the motive. And that is what I thought this would be. That's what I thought this would be. If you say, well, if I go about and give them my Jesus, somebody can come proud to like, you are thinking you're better than me. You always talk about you, God, and this, you don't know God. They can accuse you of that also. So then you have to find out, what is my motive? Am I trying to save this man because I know he's going to fail? That's a motive, that's a good motive. Or am I just saying that things only from God's people, just am I that motive? What is the motive of weakness? Why am I doing it? So when you say, is this pride, you have to get the motive. So somebody comes, what about you? You are comfortable with you and not on the door, they want to bring you to your church and say that the kingdom of God is over there. They are doing their best, what are they trying to cover so fast?
Praise the Lord. So, but that is what God judges. I remember this testimony of this
brothers and said he had a vision of heaven. They were telling him when he was before the throne of God that we human beings, we judge the outward appearance. But God looks more at it. God will judge not only the action, he will judge the motive behind the action. Which most of the time we can see that. We can only see how the man presented the intent of him, what he did, what he said. But God sees beyond that. And that is the part of it that I can shake that for myself. I can shake that and say, wait a minute, what is this motive? When I say what I said. Because if you have a clear knowledge that what you said was taken wrongly, then maybe you are still okay. They misunderstood you. That is possible in the interaction with the woman. But if the motive is really wrong, even if they think you or what you said was right, and that is where you witchcraft is good about that. They have a bad motive and they will be blowing your face and making you look good. But that's witchcraft, you see. Motive is what God is looking for. So what is he trying to accomplish? What is really the motive behind this? So that's why I say what you have to check is the motive. Anybody can come and say that. Come and show. I don't say pride, but what is the motive that is doing? Maybe you don't want to see people come and experience something. President.
I just wanted to say that not only if you go to a different church, but in your own church as well. I mean, for instance, in this church, I mean, we do some things, some activities, and so forth like that. So, I know that when we first started, we have to caution among ourselves. And I have caution, at least among those of us who are doing events and different things like that, because there's a tendency to look as if, I mean, if you're out there, like we do events on Saturdays and we go to the outreach and so forth like that, you may think that just because you do that, that makes you better than somebody else. And that can be pride. And if you come out all the time you say this and that and so forth, it's not only when you go to somebody else's church, but right here in our church, it's a way that you can say, what you are doing and so forth like that. Sometimes you may think, you're trying to challenge others, but you can actually be proud, because it makes you feel that you are the only one that's doing something and the others are not doing anything. So that can be pride, and also, in things that we do in the church, ministers, they are not even exempt. In fact, one of the greatest tools that help use against ministers is pride. It's so easy to fall into that. If the Lord is doing something in your life, and then you make you think that others who are not that way, they just don't get it. Well, you couldn't get it either if the Lord didn't give it to you. Mm-hmm. This is a very delicate area, and a lot of people fall into that, that we always think that, well, gee, maybe they should wake up and so on. Well, you would be asleep too if the Lord didn't wake you up. So we should think about that every time that we think that we are doing something wonderful for God. We should think about that. And like Brajilas was saying, check the motive of what you are saying. And sometimes even when we give testimony, check the motive of the testimony. And, does the testimony glorify God? And one way that I like to define pride is, something that doesn't glorify God. I mean, not glorifying God. That's the way I like to define pride, So we see an example of Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, things he did, how he walked in his palace and say, is this not the great kingdom that I have built by my hand and so forth like that? But he didn't give the glory to God. So not giving the glory to God is really pride. So there's many different elements about that. So those are some things to bear in mind. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Let's remember the testimony, the thing the Lord gave another story, a parable of the two men that went to the temple. And he said, this Pharisee spoke within himself and said, that was testimony, he was testifying really. And that's what our pastor was talking about here. When we give testimony, we have to always be careful how we say. But that man said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And he described the other men. And God said, she, I don't want to hear that. And he said that the publican stood and bowed up and said, be merciful unto you, God, a sinner. And Jesus Christ said, that one went home, justified. So what about this man? Pride. God read pride all over the Pharisee. So that's an example that we can also say. What would make anybody do that? It's the fine line between, like I was saying that the exception Jesus or something, a fine line between being confident or being proud of myself, wash out, or be and become arrogant or so. So there's fine line. They will try to push you, cross that line. Yes.
From what Pastor
Joseph
is talking about, I can give definitely an example. When I started college, I had to really break with that same type of example for me, because I started off in. And I was looking at my train of thought. I told people this before, but going into college, and I'll be honest, I never really worshipped or fellowshipped with anybody like outside of the Nigerian realm. So I was always kind of like, oh, you know, if we knew, you know, I have like people that are not just Nigerians that would go to church, it's going to be like the same everything. And when I got to, where I was going to, and everything was just seemed a lot different. And I remember I studied thinking, oh, these people, like, even though, it's funny because I'm so blind with my pride, I'm like, well, these people, they don't speak in tongues, they don't, you know, do this, they don't do that, and, you know, they're really not, and it's starting with little thing to another, and now I'm talking to people, and it's funny because after God showed me, like, hindsight, I would justify a lot of things that I was saying, or maybe sometimes, like, you're not saying to any of these people who, they're really my brothers and sisters, and it's not just that, just like, that they had, because I was not spot one too, and I haven't experienced the stuff that I experience now. But I was looking down on these people, my brothers and sisters, because I was thinking, oh, you know, I've experienced this, they haven't experienced that, the way they worship, and blah, 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 and this and this and that. And God just told me, he's like, yeah, these are your brothers and sisters. He's like, I don't know why you think that you're so much better than what you're doing. Like I said before, I would just have to be like, oh, you know, at least I'm saying something. When I was saying something to somebody about, you know, well, I just feel like you guys could do more of this, more of that. It wasn't from pure, oh, like, God telling me to say this stuff. It was none of that. It was really just me, like, saying all stuff. And although it may have been, like, true, what I was saying, the motive, what I call it, the heart said, it was completely wrong. It was out of my own pride. And so that kind of brings me from that. And it's funny how, even in the end, use somebody from that program to actually pray with me was kind of like a whole 180. And he just showed that to me. But yeah, I definitely have experienced that too. But yeah.
Praise God. So you can see everybody, in fact, I can tell you one experience I had. We all go through life and you run through this experience. The most important is to be humble when it is pointed out to you. That is the most important thing, to be humble when it is pointed out to you. God watches for that. An example is in the King David. He had done all these terrible things. He was a man after God's own heart and he committed adultery. Looked up, nobody said anything. So he killed. Looked up, nobody said anything. Thought, wow, maybe this. And then 1 year, almost a year has passed. Because for a baby to be born, 9 months also. And then the prophet came. Quite the story of David and Bathsheba. The prophet came 1 year later. What was going on this 1 year? You think David was not singing praise to God? The psalmist of Israel. So he was praising the Lord every Sunday. And nothing seemed to work until 1 year later the prophet came. And said, you are the man. But the most important thing is that what? He repented and said, I am sinned against the Lord. for other kings who have said, arrest this prophet. So God said, when it is pointed out, you humble yourself and say, no, I'm sorry. And you can then God said, it is still manifest. So that is very important. I remember when I came to this country, I would visit some churches, and I visited the church, and they said, well, we have a house fellowship, if you want to, anybody. So I went to one house fellowship, just to, but you know, how we all came from Africa, we know so much in faith of the Word of God. I wanted to teach them. Of course, they didn't know much, but they said that I was, that's what it felt like. And by the time they told me, hey, brother, there's somebody else talk. At the house fellowship, I didn't say that well. Then I knew that, Lord, something, that's right, something is not, I'm too fond of something, I just cut it off. And it just started making me to see it and see. There are many things we carry over when we're coming from Africa, when we're in Africa, we're bumping the soldiers and soldiers. That after you come to, you don't begin to deal with you. See, when we're in Africa, there are some different things we deal with you at different times in your life. It doesn't have to be because you're out of Africa, it's just because it's time for him to deal with you on this. Then you begin to deal. When, another thing I remember is, when I was in Africa, God didn't have to deal with me about financial things because I was working for the government and money they never gave it off. But the Lord brought me over here and said, okay, we're going to have to test you, trusting me on money. And getting the job and being fired and laid off. But the first time I had about this, Christmas is coming, the company closed, everybody get out. And I said, gee, and then you have to go to land. So that's part of testing that I'm saying that sometimes when it's right time for the Lord, he tests you on something else. So that is one thing that the Lord started dealing with me when I came to this country, that I started being humble. I'm still working on it. But you have to remember that many times we have a lot of baggages we carry. From even from our Christian, from the other life of Christian, you know. Okay. The
scripture and I'll say a couple of things. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that tree, there is good. So the good, sometimes, what they say is, sometimes the good that we do, we have to find out within us. It's only you or me that will know the reason why or what it is. I could give my sister $50, I will not get a reward for it, because my motive is totally wrong. So even in doing good, it could be kind. So we don't do good. And you see this pretty well. You know that what he did there was something good. But there's no work. So in tree of knowledge of good and evil, in both, it will lead to destruction. And I want to back them, that's we as Christians we need to thank God that we the battles that he fights for us. We don't get to see it. Else, I tell you what, we probably will be dead if we saw those demons that are doing stuff. But just sometimes the word is spoken and things take place. They find their fruits. When he was asking how do we do this, just by their fruits, we will know them. All we want to do is say, the power in the name of God just takes care of the situation. Can't decipher whether this demon is a principality here, or this was about this. That is not intent. We don't worry about that at all. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Put on the old armor of God. That is the summary of what we are going to wrap it up, because the armor of God covers even the pride. It shelters us from that pride. I only deal with pride because that's the biggest thing the devil uses. Ephesians chapter 6, let's read that as we wrap it up. Because we can be, when you begin to meditate on this thing, to open your understanding and say, hey, before you do anything, before you take anything, search your heart. Compare with the Word of God. What is your motivation? And let the Lord be blessed.
Ephesians chapter 6. Apostle Paul is here, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be ye strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What we have discussed is the wiles of the devil. Because when you know the wiles, you know how to quench it. Because those are the wiles of the devil. We always talk about the fire, the devil wanting to kill people with this cancer. And those are all true. But the wiles of the devil are the ones that want to lead people into sin. Sin and ungodliness. And prayer against God. Like God said, you resist it. God said, resist the proud. And we don't want to, we want God to be on our side, not resisting us. So that's why we want to make sure we get that covered. See, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the word of God. Just get the Bible verses, get it into you, quote it all the time, remind yourself of it. When you remember who you are, then you will walk as the Lord is saying to walk. So, guard yourself with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then always pray, always with all prayer and supplications and watching. That is the last part of it you have to remember. If you are very sensitive, that's watching. Watching that day. Where did this voice come from? Look at what happened. Let's just give an example. Peter just did something great. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And everybody said, oh, they say you are Elijah. They say, but who do you say that I am? Peter complained, you are the Son of God, Christ. And God said, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. And they were there. So the devil went behind Peter. Now Christ was telling them that he was going to go to the cross. The devil put some words. That's what we are talking about. Ideas, thoughts, ideas, conversations. The devil just look for any opportunity. Put the words in the mouth of Peter. Now Peter would have felt that since he knew so much, he should be telling the master, well, you're talking negative, master. Speak positive about yourself. That's what he was really saying. That's what happened to you. That's what happened to you. And God, what she says, this is all right. Sensitive. If you are sensitive, Christ could send that right away. That's not from the right spirit. And that is what we are saying. If the voices come, you must be waiting. Where is this? I just come to my head. If you are very sensitive, you can quickly quench the parameters or take captive every thought. So Apostle Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and then taking captive every thought. The thought that comes is still generating your mind. You can stop it right there and say, but it is written. It is written. Quote the Bible verse to yourself. You are saying back to your mind. And you just see that demon just stopped us all the way. Why? Because it is written. That is why we say you have to be sensitive. That's why you say watching. You watch and pray. So when you pray, you also watch. Yeah, unto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Let's just stand up and pray. We can continue on in many other things, but this is good enough for today. Keep our mind to begin to meditate on these things. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this few discussions, few exercises. We thank you, Lord, for leading us in the right path. We know, Lord God, you have given us the victory already. Christ said that my Father has given his mighty hand, and no man can block them out of my Father's hand. So we know, Lord Jesus, we are in your hand, and the devil is just wasting his time. We're trying to delay our progress. But Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, you have promised that the saints shall arrive. And we know that we shall arrive. It take a little while, but we shall arrive. And thank you, Jesus, because we claim that victory. He said, we look at the end of the book. He said, they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that is the word we are asking one another to say it out. Confess it. Stand your ground. Cast down imagination. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, because Christ has given us all this way more than us. We thank you, Lord, because we are victorious already. And we shall arrive at your feet at the end. Let it be that the word of God.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jehovah Almighty. We thank you, Lord.